Hi, this is Mike Chambers. This is my podcast for May 10th, 2006. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 2.5 license, and all the links and outline and everything I talk about today will be posted to my weblog at weblogs.macromedia.com/mesh. So I'm sorry I missed last week's podcast. I've been really swamped, a lot of things going on. We released beta 3 of Flex 2 and Flash Player, Flex Framework, and Flex Builder this week. So I was really busy updating some stuff with that, helping track down some issues. So I guess that's probably the big news this week is, again, we released updated beta 3 on Labs for Flex Builder 2, Flex Framework 2, Flex Charting Components 2, Flex Data Services 2, Flash Player 2, and the Flex SDK 2. So there's a ton of stuff on Labs. A lot of changes this time, not as many as in Beta 2, but there was some small API changes. So make sure when you're looking at updating your apps that you look at the recent changes document I linked on the other day, and I'll link in my weblog. This should actually be the last time that there are significant API changes. I believe we're actually in like API lockdown. I'm not sure, but we're not doing any more API scrubs. So, moving forward, there shouldn't be any major changes in APIs. Of course, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but this is the type of stuff that, normally developers aren't exposed to. The development process where we're changing APIs and breaking things during the beta. Normally that goes on behind closed doors, but we're being a lot more open this time. I'm letting people play around with the technology m a lot earlier, as far back. I think we launched in October of last year. But one of the trade-offs is that you are exposed a little more to some of the changes, between during the development process. The trade-off is, and the benefit is you get up to speed a lot quicker. And then when we hit, when we release everything 1.0, or in this case 2.0, you're ready to go. Developers already understand the technology and they're ready to hit the ground running. I know a lot of people are already actually working on projects, so I expect when we release, there'll actually be a lot of projects go live then. So let's see, API scrub. I'm looking at my notes here. Oh yeah, so one thing you have to do, again, we updated the compiler and the player. So if you have examples that you'd built in beta 1 or beta 2, you need to update those, recompile them for beta 3. The Swift format changed between betas, and so a Swift compiled for beta 2 won't run in beta 3. So you need to update those, and if you hit an example where you get some runtime error, chances are that it was compiled for beta 2 originally. I know I have some examples on my weblog that I haven't had a chance to update yet. I noticed a couple of people having some install issues where they installed Player 9 beta, and then went to a site and it prompted them to install again. And I think is what this issue is the installer gets a little confused because you already have an existing beta version of the player. And so it doesn't actually install it. So if you run into this issue, one thing you might want to try is if you go to Labs, there's actually an uninstaller, Flash Player uninstaller. So run that first and then rerun the installer for Flash Player 9, and hopefully that'll take care of your issues. One of the things that we've really focused on in this release is performance of the runtime, so the Flash runtime. We've created a new virtual machine for ActionScript 3. And performance has been just across the board, significantly faster. Andre Michel, who's actually been probably pushing performance as much as anyone, made a post the other day where he was a little concerned about some performance that had gone down between beta 2 and beta 3. And after looking into it a little more, it turned out because he had been testing his beta 2 stuff or running it in the release build, which we had actually released a beta 2 release build for compatibility testing. But the builds we release on Labs, and so for beta 3 builds, those are all debug builds, which are significantly slower. I think maybe up to 100% slower. So they're half as fast as the release builds. So it's something to keep in mind as you're working on, you're playing around with code or working on your app in in beta 3 is that you're using a debug build. I think one example of this is you can look at Darren Shaw and Klaus Wallers have released a Commodore 64 emulator for Flash Player 9. It's really, really cool. They're basically emulating the hardware of the chip. I think it really talks to the performance that's available in the new player. And actually, Darren pinged me this morning and showed me an example where he has keyboard input working. You can actually import simple programs. I think he blogged about that, so I'll link to that. It's really cool stuff. But they, Klaus and Darren were saying that, you know, in the debug player, they're getting between 40, 45 frames per second, where in the release player, they're getting 60 frames per second. So pretty significant difference between the types of players you're running in. Of course, when we release everything to the public, you know, the public will get the release player. So the performance will be really high. And then developers will, when you're developing, you'll probably be using the debug player just because it allows you to debug your applications. So it's just something keeping in mind as you're working on your applications or looking at other content, the differences in the player versions or the player types. So one thing I got to play around with this week for the first time was actually creating my own component and action script for Flex 2, so creating my own Flex 2 component. One of the things I really love about the Flex framework is that it makes it so easy to modularize your applications because you can create components just by compositing other MXML tags. So it's incredibly simple to just create, you know, components add functionality to them by compositing other tags. So we've actually done this a lot, and I've talked about this a lot in past podcasts, you know, in the Flow application, and pretty much any application I work on, I'm creating a ton of custom components, which in most cases just consist of, you know, just creating a simple MXML file that contains all, you know, all my tags I need, and then reusing that. Flex makes that incredibly simple. So this week, though, I had the need to actually make a component from ActionScript, because I needed to extend the functionality of an existing component, in this case, the panel component. This is the first time I'd done this, and I was a little worried about it because I've never actually spent a lot of time building components, either in Flash Authoring or Flex, so you know, building components with ActionScript. But I was surprised by how simple it actually was. Basically, I just have an ActionScript class and extends the panel component, which is an MXML tag, which is actually implemented under the scenes in ActionScript. And one of the things that was nice is that we distribute the source code for the entire framework with the beta, so you can download it, and the source is available with the framework when you download Flex Builder or the SDK. So that made it really simple just to look into panel, see what's going on, see what I need to extend or what functions I need to override. And then once I did that, you just compile it into a SWC. And, one thing I had a little trouble with was figuring out how to specify my own namespace. So, when you're working in a Flex project or application, there's two ways you can point to new components. One, you can create a namespace that just points to the path where all your components are, and that's if you're just linking to the source of the components. And that's what I normally do when I'm compositing components with MXML. But in this case, I was building a component that was meant to be redistributed. It was compiled into a SWC. I wanted users to be able to, you know, drag and drop it within Flex Builder, and then to use a namespace similar to the MX namespace that MXML uses. It took me a while to figure that out. I finally figured out is basically you have to create a manifest file that maps what all components are in that namespace. And then within Flex Builder, or you can also probably do this via MXML, although I did this via Flex Builder, there's an option in the compiler properties to specify your namespace. In this case, I had a unique URL. And then you have to point to the manifest file. So anyways, if you're building your own components to something, if you want to specify your own namespace, just something to watch out for. But the thing that's nice is, you know, once I built this component, it was a lot easier than I expected it to be. Then, you know, and I can compile into a SWC, and now it's very easy for me to distribute. I can just send it around to other people. They just link to it in their project, and it'll show up in Design View and Flex Builder in the components panel. You can drag and drop it. You can program it. Anyway, it's really powerful. I was really surprised by how simple it was to build even, you know, a slightly more complex component that I'd done in the past. Another person who's doing this all the time, and it's actually the person I go and bug every time I have a question, is Eli Greenfield. And Eli has been spending a lot of time on his weblog posting some, custom, more express components. He posted a new one this week that's kind of like a really expressive tile layout manager. It's really cool stuff. Make sure you check it out. I think it really shows how expressive the Flex framework can be. And the thing I think is most exciting about components in Flex is that because they are relatively easy to create, I really foresee a robust developer community and component market developing around Flex, which really would be a huge boon to the community and to developers, as the more components out there, the less that you end up having to create. So I'm really excited about that, looking forward to that. So let's see, the blog of the week this week. So every week I try to point out the what I consider the blog of the week. And so far it's always been Adobe Blogs, and I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to always keep it Adobe Blogs or move it out. But anyways, this week it's another Adobe blog, and this week it's the Adobe consulting team. So this is a team that basically they're our consulting team, and they work with customers to help them, maybe with pre-release projects or really large scale projects, just to understand how to use some of our technologies or what's coming down the road, and just help to guide them. And we generally don't do all the development. We work with the other teams to do it. But it's a team, they do a lot of exploring, with the framework and styles and stuff like that. So this week they've been really busy playing around with styling within the Flex framework. And the first thing they did, they released a new version of their Flex Style Explorer for beta 3, compiled for beta 3. They added some new functionality and some new styles that weren't supported before. And this is really, if you're doing Flex development, this is a an invaluable tool for styling applications. So if you're not familiar with styling in Flex, in the Flex framework, basically you can style your applications with cascading style sheets, so CSS, or a combination of CSS and skinning. And it's incredibly powerful. We built the Flow application that was highly stylized, and it was the first time we'd really used styles. And we were really impressed by how much power it gave us and how much we could style the application and make it look, exactly how we wanted it to. So they released the Style Explorer this week, and what this is, it's basically a Flex application that contains all of the components, and it contains a UI for setting all the styles of the components. So as you do this, you can see how the components are restyled. So you can see how they'll look, and then it spits out the style sheets for you. So I use this all the time whenever, I want to style something. I just go to the Style Explorer, play around with the settings till the Style Explorer looks how I want, and then just copy the style sheet or the CSS from the Style Explorer into my application. So it's a great tool for leveraging when you're building applications, but it's also a great tool just for learning about styling within Flex. The other thing they released this week was a style sheet. This is pure CSS that will style your Flex application to look pretty similar to a Mac OS X application. So this is really cool, and I think it really speaks to the power of CSS within the Flex framework and how much stuff you can actually do with it. So check that out. I think for Flex 1.5, they'd actually released a Windows XP theme. So again, it just really speaks to the power of styling and CSS within Flex. So the blog of the week goes to the Adobe consulting team for all their work on styling that they've done this week. So keep up the good work. Oh, flash forward. So flash forward Austin, this September, they actually sent an email out today announcing all the confirmed speakers and topics. I'm actually down for two topics, both on Apollo. I think one is titled Understanding Apollo, which is just kind of an overview of Apollo, and the other is building your first Apollo application, which goes into a little more detail on the APIs and actually building an application. If you're not familiar with Apollo, if you haven't listened to my podcast before, basically Apollo is a runtime, is a code name for a runtime that Adobe is working on that aims to allow developers to leverage existing web technology, so things like Flash and Flex and HTML JavaScript and Ajax and PDF to create and deploy desktop applications to really make that a lot easier to do. So anyways, this went out today, and I was a little worried about this because it's so far in advance, but a couple of people, or actually Keith Peters, blogged it, that, you know, the mention of Apollo, and, you know, said, well, it looks like maybe we'll have Apollo by then. And that's not necessarily the case. You know, we haven't spoken too much about Apollo yet. We've mentioned a couple of keynotes. Every time we've talked about how early in the process we are. So we're very early in the process. We are going to leverage labs. So it'll be on labs way before we release, you know, the initial version. But I just want to emphasize that just because I'm talking about it at Flash 4, it doesn't mean it'll be released on labs, by then, or at, or definitely released as a final version. So, you know, I'll probably be talking about, you know, or I may be talking about, I guess I should say, a pre-release version at then. But don't worry, it's come along well. Again, we're really early stages, but it's going to be really cool stuff. Now I'll be talking about that more. Probably in about a month, we'll start talking about it a little more. So that's about all the time I have. I'm going to actually be at the Ajax Experience Conference in San Francisco Thursday afternoon and Friday. So if you're at the conference, if you're going to be there, ping me, hang out, catch some sessions, yeah, stuff like that. Kevin Lynch is doing a keynote on Thursday afternoon, so I'll be there. I'm going to try to videotape it and post it up on my blog. There should be some cool stuff for showing there. Again, everything that I talk about today, I'll post on my weblog for this post. So I'll post all the links and everything. And just a reminder that this podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 2.5 license. So have a good week. Talk to you next week. Thanks.